Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's Monday. It's snowing in Chicago. And Jesus, when are we going to get some warm weather so we can go out to the old ballpark? Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. Actually, I was at the ballpark in Milwaukee on Saturday. But in the meantime, market's higher. No surprise after Friday's disaster. Especially when you consider there was no real bad news to worry about. And I think that that's something that, this is how the markets kind of function. And this is how they rock and roll is, you know, there was no real bad news on Friday. I mean, over the weekend. So if there's no real bad news, the markets are probably getting a little bit of a spring back dead cat bounce. So that's not a surprise. I think that, but again, we remain consistent with the tops are in, and we'll see what they bring us. But in the meantime, you can see quite evidently the markets are on real edge. The sellers, the weak hands can't wait to get out. They can't wait to dump and get out of the markets. And I think that's one of the things that we, continue to understand about what's going on is that, you've got too many people in the market that have stretched out on weak money, weak hands, too much margin. Too many people that are in that really would prefer to be in a passbook savings account at 5% in the bank, but that is not available as of yet. So you're going to see that we have issues. And, of course, again, every time you see the market start to sell off, you see that these sellers can't wait to dump. And, of course, that is very consistent with highs and tops in markets. You see the markets look for a reason to go down. And the minute they find it, the sellers come a-flying. And, you know, this is what we look for. And, of course, you're starting to see the crude oil give up the ghost and starting to come down, which makes sense. I think it's interesting. Grains are... they were much higher overnight, but they still ended up higher. But I think that's a pretty good sign that the trade war fears are just that, and their fears. There should be nothing really to be overly concerned about because it will resolve itself out. I think that you look for gold to stay in that somewhat of a consolidation pattern. Until it breaks out one way or the other. And, there's no telling what is going to be the determining factor that decides to break that out. But we know that it will break out one direction or the other. But, again, there's just a lot of things that look pretty snarky. But a rip your face off rally would be no surprise. Again, but just look at the overall trend. If you go back to January 29th and you look at what's going on, you can see that there's nothing but lower highs. And a big S&P rally would be no surprise and still keep us in the overall downtrend. And I think that's something that, again, we want to make sure that we stay on top of and want to follow the market footprint above everything else, We're not interested in trying to predict where we're going. What we're interested in is to try to be correct with the market and let the market tell us. But, you know, over the weekend, we had a bunch of things, you know, not much happened. But, you know, you've got the big story is still Facebook that really wants to be regulated because they want to take away any competition. And that's, I think, the ingenious part of the idiocy of Jeff or Mark, was it Mark Zuckerberg, whatever the hell his name is. But again, not that he planned this, but you know, the genius that he's got is if they regulate them, it makes it harder for their competition. It's not going to change Facebook much, but it will affect their competition. Again, we've used this example before, but much like the big banks. And that's what, you know, you could see and where you can see an overall problem is because if Facebook does get regulated, it affects all their competition now and in the future. And since they've already been past it, and on top of it, they are obviously at the top of the heap. You know, one of the things about regulations and regulators is that, you know, the big guys tell them to go fly a kite and just pay their fines and move on and continue to operate, and the little guys get put out of business. So that does definitely affect the competitive scale that we watch and we look. So, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, these are the things that do indeed happen in markets on a regular basis. And I think that's where, you know, you have to take a look and understand, you know, what's going on behind it. Again, that doesn't mean that it's going to help the stock anytime soon. But, you know, I don't know how much more tormenting they're going to get out of it. But there's just a lot of things that are going on that don't look right. You know, Powell spoke on Friday and he did not say a lot of things that really helped the street. You know, there's the jobs number was brutal. You know, everybody makes them make excuses, and makes me, of course, want to puke. But, you know, 8 cents an hour, that's all you have to remember. 8 cents an hour, that's the average wage increase. It comes out to $160 a year. And, of course, that doesn't even pay for a half of the Brewers game that I went to on Saturday. All right. So, again, this is nonsense. It's there's a problem that nobody wants to admit to. But this goes back to your favorite lobbyists, your favorite congressmen, your favorite senators, and, of course, your favorite Federal Reserve that are basically, as if you remember Joe Pesci from Lethal Weapon, they blank you in the drive-thru. All right. And that's what we get from our swamp in Washington and the people that deal with it. They blank us in the drive-thru, right? And that's really, unfortunately, what we have. And, you know, they can make the stories up. They can make it sound as good as they want. But at the end of the day, they're not doing jack. And we're paying the price, as always. And quite frankly, it kind of pisses me off. You know, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of listening to it. I'm tired of the rhetoric, the BS. And I just wish they'd go away. And I'm obviously that will not happen today, but it certainly would be nice if it did. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and always appreciate having you here. And, of course, want to remind you to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm and check out our other programming as well. And don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you for free. Every day after the close, I send an update to get your copy of my little video. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and just there's a box that'll pop up. Fill out the box and you will be on the list to get the updates every day after the market closes. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the one, the only, the unbelievably talented, traveling Jane King, Lila Mex Media, and the Kitchen Report. What's up, Jane King?
Hey, Todd, everything, when's spring happening, by the way? More snow? I mean, this is like ridiculous. More, really what we've gone through. This
more nor'easters for you guys. That's what. Listen, that's the benefit you get. You just came back from the West Coast, but you get the benefit of the East Coast. Not only do you have to pay more taxes and pay higher prices, but you get nice weather to go along with it, too.
Nice weather, I know. Why do I live here again? No, yeah, we're flying back the day of the most recent nor'easter, and all flights were grounded in and out of Newark. So we were delayed a little bit. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but it's April. I mean,
well,
come on.
You know, listen, in Chicago, we've had snow as late as June, I can remember. So the only good thing about snow this time of year is it melts pretty fast once it comes down. But it is a pain in the ass.
That's true.
So, Jane King, let's talk about President Trump and his overnight comments. I mean, it's twice this week. He did a after the close kind of talk about the trade wars and tariffs, and down go the markets. And of course, I think Wednesday was the most incredible rally, I think, in the history of the market, where it was down 500 and ended up actually up 300. What do you think about all this stuff?
Yeah, I had a lunch on Wednesday with, by the way, a Saudi prince. We could talk about that a little bit if you want. How about that for an Indiana farm girl? But anyway, so I came back from the lunch, and the market was up. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? So what you've been around the trading markets. I mean, that was a reversal of, you know, to the 10th degree. So that was pretty encouraging to see that happen. I think Wall Street's kind of seeing all this back and forth between China as negotiating in the public. And, the president last night, he's not backing down. And China said something interesting in response to the most recent salvo from Trump. And that was like something like at any cost. We're going to fight this at any cost. And I'm like, okay, I know that's not true, because you're not going to do this at any cost. Think about that. So I think this is all just kind of a go back and forth. They'll work something out. I think in the end, we're all going to be better for it, but it's tough. Of course, agriculture impacted a lot. I texted my brothers and my nephews this week and just asked them what they thought. And they feel like in the long run, it's going to be in the best thing, but it's painful in the near term. And I think they're a little nervous about what they're seeing happen.
Okay. I'm going to finish your thought. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you. Go ahead.
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, they're sticking with Trump. I think they seem okay with what's going on.
I think they should. Now, listen, I said this on the show, and I've talked about this all week, because it's really pissing me off because it's more the lobbyists and the politicians than the actual farmers themselves. Now, if we go back, let's just go back in time a year. All grains are almost higher than they were a year ago. It's not the issue is not the tariffs. The issue is not the trade wars. The issue is that we have no inflation and we can't get more prices. And because of some of the issues trying to ship goods out of the country, that has kept prices depressed. And that becomes more of the issue. And I think that this is going to be much better for farmers and producers when they get this all said and done, because it's going to free up some of the way that we do the tariffs, and it's going to allow us to ship more goods, because the world is not going to stop eating. Our goods are going to be in demand no matter what happens, and somebody's going to be buying them. And I think that that's the bigger story. And to me, it's becoming to a point that I listen to these lobbyists and these congressmen talk about it, and they're talking poppycock as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, same old, I mean, from people like that. I mean, the situation with China was way off the rails. It was extremely unfair. It needed to be cleaned up, needed to be modernized, needed to be changed. And it's what we're going through. And it's painful. I mean, it's painful to see, you know, your 401k way down, but you know, it's necessary, and I'm okay with it. I mean, I think this is all going to turn out all right. I mean, it's only really been going on for a couple of months. I mean, we can't take a couple of months of pain, to straighten things out. I mean, you know, we're not very tough. You got to do that sometimes.
Well, I'm with you, Jane. I mean, look, the bottom line, you listen, you've been around, you know, by the way, I drove through Lafayette, Purdue. I was thinking about you when I was going to send you a picture.
All from, right.
When I went, I went to Tennessee. But anyways, you know, when I look at this whole thing and I go, okay, so your 401k is down a little bit, but what do we know for a fact? You and I both have been around long enough in this business that the markets are going to go up 8% year over year over time. And that's really going to be the end of the day. And as long as you're not going to panic out because there's a little bit of stress or strain, good companies or good funds are going to be up over time. And the idea is to be able to sit back and not be so over leveraged or over invested into a market that will take you out because you get emotionally nuts versus just sitting back and saying, okay, I mean, you went through this in 08. And I mean, you know, you and I have been talking since I think 2010. And certainly it's simply the markets do what the markets do. And your objective is, if you're an investor, is to not pay attention to every day because you can't trade this market tick for tick if you're an investor. What do you think?
Oh, my God. It's impossible. I mean, that market looks so ugly Wednesday about 5 a.m. And for it to end up 200, 300 points, I mean, it's you just cannot panic. You can't. I mean, some of these like commentators on TV are just like Armageddon. This is a disaster. And, you know, I mean, it's just like everybody just calm down. I mean, it's like they can't see that this is a negotiation or they can't see what's been happening. It's, I mean, it's just kind of the same stuff you and I've been talking about so much over the past couple of years, is that you've got like, I guess, elite people who are, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they got to those positions because they're really not very deep thinkers on some of this stuff. I mean, they're taking everything just at face value and panicking and getting emotional. So you just got to like calm down and hope that things work out. I think it will. I think everything's going to be fine.
That's why economists have no clue, because that's why they can't call a recession until 10 years later. Well, look, I don't want somebody to tell me after it's over that there was a recession. I want someone to tell me ahead of time. And
what good? It's kind of like a weather forecaster telling you after it's over. Yeah, it rained yesterday. It's like,
yeah,
okay.
I'm great with it. So what do you think about the Larry Kudlow deal? You like Larry Kudlow in the office?
Yeah, I like him. I think actually his comments Wednesday were one of the reasons why we saw the turnaround. I mean, he talked about negotiations and in the long run. I mean, just the kind of exact stuff that we're talking about that makes all the sense in the world. And for him to come out and be very public, I think it was very smart of, you know, White House or the communications office or whoever sent him out. And he did a lot of TV interviews. And when he came out, that calmed things down a lot. It was really important.
Well, no, I don't, there's no way he gets involved with Trump. There's no way he takes that job if he does, if he believes that this is going to be a true trade war or terrorist, because Larry Kudlow is a free trader and he is not interested this part. So he is telling you by him, by the very point of him taking the job, saying he believes that Trump has a plan. And I agree. Mm-hmm. But this goes back to, and something you said a few minutes ago, education. Okay, we have in places of power some of the, I don't want to use the right words. I got to be very careful how I select these, but they're not very bright when it comes to the overall thing. And this is where your education podcast and my high school program are so important, because we need to catch people when they're young so they understand how the markets and how the economy really work instead of the BS that we get fed through a lot of these other people. What do you think about that, and what do you got going in your podcasting?
Yeah, well, our next one will be released on the 13th of April, and that's Camp Moolah, Moolah U, where she has camp, summer camp in Texas. You can go down. It's like for kids. She teaches you how to run a business. Just a really great program for kids. And then I'm going to be doing some work with Dave Ramsey's group. I have some more guests on there, in particular one guy who works with kids a lot. So he's going to be coming up soon. But, you know, I kind of listen to my kids a lot, and they just tend to repeat what they hear adults say or what they hear their friends say, which is what they hear their parents say at home. And it's, again, like what I see a lot is just real simplistic thinking. Like, you know, we have to ban all guns no matter what, or Trump is this, or, you know, and it just, you have to kind of teach them to think things through. And one of the first impediments to being able to think things through in a rational way is getting overly emotional and getting really angry and not being able to think straight. So you have to like you have to put that away and be able to kind of just think about what's really going on and calm down and be logical. So that's what I'm trying to teach my kids to do. So hopefully
we got 20 seconds left, but I just bring this up to you. I live in Deerfield, Illinois, and they just banned assault weapons. Now again, I have no interest in what they're doing, because one thing I know for sure is the crooks are always getting the guns. So why are they bothering the law abiding citizens? You got 20 seconds for an answer. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just look at Chicago. I mean, guns are banned there, but they have a lot of gun deaths. I mean, it's not the answer. It's got to be something much more complex than that.
Jane King, you are awesome. I love you. Thank you so much for being here, and have a great day. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report. And this is The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horwitz. Don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And don't forget the rest of our programming, because we do have 24-hour-a-day programming every single day of the week. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and founder of CryptoInvestorX.com, and myself, Todd Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrain.com. And so, Matt, obviously a lot going on in the world, and I know there's a big conference coming up in the crypto world, and you've been kind of tying a lot of the thoughts you have that will be where we'll start to really break out. Why does the conference become important to you? You know, you're a technical analysis, basically. You know, you're looking for technical levels. I mean, I know that you believe that the technicals tell all, and that it really nothing, the news is really have no effect, because you should be able to read that ahead of time. So why is this conference in your mind so important? What do you think will come out of this conference? It's about a month away now.
Yeah, well, I actually think that the charts know. I mean, for example, we on Thursday in the S&P, we were moving up towards this rapidly declining resistance line. I had a target resistance line, and I didn't know specifically why it would hit there, turn down, and plummet, but I knew that it would ahead of time. And there was no news already out. But then Thursday afternoon, Trump comes out and says something, you know, we'll fight to the end or whatever on the trade war or whatever. So S&P plunges. The chart knew it would plunge. I didn't know what the fundamental news would be. So I think a lot of fundamental news will probably come out during that consensus meeting in May 13th to 16th. I think the chart is just waiting for that to happen. And I think since we can pinpoint the date at which we know probably, you know, some good fundamental news will come out, we can know that ahead of time that that's probably sometime before then we'll see a bottom. We may have already seen it, but I think by then we will have a very, very good chance we'll have bottom by then.
So your opinion is we probably rally into the news, and then whether the news is able to continue to push it higher or it's the news will be priced in will be the next step. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I think it will come out.
Now, do you think, or is there, maybe I don't know it yet, but is there, because we trade the Bitcoin or the Bitcoin exchange on the CME, and because we traded at the CBOE, will there be, or is there a what are we calling it, the commitment of traders report on those yet, or will there be?
I didn't look at the last one, so I don't know, but up until the last one, I hadn't seen, it listed in the group. I'll have to check on that again. I know open interest is still pretty low, though. I saw that somewhere. I think it was only 55. Actually, one of them is tracked. That's a CBOE. I want to see the CME because that's the larger contract. So sorry, the CBOE one is there, and I think there's like 50 open interest of something like 55 contracts. So a small number. I'll check again on CME next time. I don't know if it has a whole lot of effect, the futures on the whole market, but what I think is good is that it seems to me that an ETF will be allowed going forward, and I assume that ETF will be based upon the futures. I think that was even though the SEC wants to clamp down on some of this stuff, I think they are allowing the Bitcoin ETFs to move forward at this point.
Do you think that these products, I know you didn't like them initially, you were not really a big fan of when they initially came out. Do you think that, what is your opinion of them now? Because they really don't trade very much, even though they trade, but do they need more products? They need the option world involved here. Do they need some of the other products to create some of these arb trades and some of these basis trades to make it actually a better contract?
Yeah, I think options would be helpful. I don't see the value so much in the futures because it's a 5.5 day market versus a 7 day market in cryptos trade 24/7. I'd like to see maybe more. I think if the futures were physically tied to Bitcoin, I would be a little more positive on them, but they basically just trade next to them, and you can't get delivery. So I think they might actually, money, it would be sucked away from the actual cryptocurrency market because it's going to go into these other products. I'm not really negative on them.
You're just not all that positive either. They're there. Now, do you think, when I first started trading, Matt, and obviously long before you did, but when I first started trading, we were only open, the currencies were open from 7:20 Chicago time till 2 o'clock Chicago time. The equities were open from 8:30 Chicago time to 3 o'clock Chicago time. And of course, we've obviously gone into basically 23.5 hours a day trading. Do you think that the exchange will actually, because everything's electronic and you don't have a pit, do you think that these exchanges and these products may actually go 24/7 at some point?
Eventually, I think they will. I mean, it just depends on how long they want to hold it up. But I think eventually they'll have to. I mean, I like having a break over the weekend. I think most people do. Just not having it move constantly because, during the week, I'm looking at charts all the time and looking at, a ton of charts. Over the weekend now, all I have to deal with is crypto. But I think everything's going to 24/7. We'll just have to get used to it.
Well, again, I preferred when they were only open a short period of time because that created more volatility because of the news cycle. But now everything just happens so much faster. And of course, we get there so much faster. But I do think that we should have, some more, products on the crypto world. Now, Canada is watching what we call the unauthorized exchanges. Now, what is authorized and what is unauthorized? Do you know? I mean, is there an answer to that question?
No, I don't.
Neither do I. I'm curious. I look at all this information. And I mean, if you're willing to clear it, that's what I think is all that really counts. I mean, if you're making a market on both sides of the market, that's to me all you need. I mean, again, I know there's always going to be some quirky stuff goes on, but no more quirkier than goes on in penny stocks or over the counter stocks. So why would anybody care?
Yeah. And, they can have authorized or unauthorized. In crypto, if you send your Ethereum or your Bitcoin or whatever, or your Monero, wherever it is, to another exchange and they can trade it, efficiently, nobody can stop you from doing that. So it's, they can make it unauthorized if they want, but what is that going to do? I mean, so it's one of those things where they any government can say that, no, we don't like that, but it's really hard to stop. And people are just going to do what they feel is in their best interest. They'll just do it. So,
good. Well, I mean, again, I think there's a big demand. And I think with all of the other, with many nations now, even though they're smaller, starting to use cryptocurrency as their currency. I mean, I can, I can only see this getting bigger and getting better. And I think that obviously we should drive prices higher. My only question to you is obviously there's so many that it's hard to know which are the ones that are actually going to be around and which ones are real. And how do you really identify what's real and what's not real?
Well, some of it's, you know, whether it's technologically, you know, better. You know, I still have some qualms about Bitcoin because they're in many ways the slowest to act. They have you have development teams all over the world that have a vision that they're trying to execute on. And if you think that vision makes sense, then you can say that those are good projects. And, you know, they can be fast if they've got good development teams. You know, really, there's not a ton of people. There's maybe 1,500 people that really, really know this stuff, that are cryptographers, that are hardcore, you know, coders that really know what they're doing. So there's going to be, so since there's, you know, 1,600 coins out there, you know, that's a lot of those coins are junk. They don't have good teams. It's just a copy off of, you know, a basic ERC-20 token that comes out of Ethereum. They just copy it and they just give it a use. So, I mean, that's okay, I guess. But, you know, you just have to do your homework over each coin. I will say this. You're talking about national governments. Sweden is looking to do their own e-krona. And they've gotten, you know, submissions from a variety of different crypto teams to determine which. I'll be interested to know which one they pick, because that'll be a validation of one of these crypto teams. So I'll be interested to see which, you know, when they evaluate it, which one they think will give them the best technology.
And that's always the whole key with this industry is now the technology. Again, not that I understand it as much, but it is about the technology that they use. And I think it's something that is important to that we make sure that we understand. But make sure you go to CryptoInvestorX.com. There's some special reports up there, and you can check them out, and they're free. We're just looking to share with you some information. So that's CryptoInvestorX.com. And also, don't forget to download the show and go to LibertyTalk.fm and download Crypto Investor X, because, again, this is something that we take a lot of pride in and want to try to help educate everybody with that show. So make sure you go check that out. And in the meantime, this is Crypto Investor X, and we're with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com and also the founder of Crypto Investor X, and myself, Todd Bubba Horwich from BubbaTrading.com, and also involved. And again, make sure that you take care of business. And if you're going to get involved, make sure you check out what Matt has to say in his special reports at Crypto Investor. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you right back here after the break with more of the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, we're coming right back to you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Crypto Investor X Radio Show with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and the founder of CryptoInvestorX.com. And of course, myself, Todd Bubba Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. And so, Matt, markets had a little bit of a what I call the rip your face off rally on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Monday and Friday they weren't so happy, and I look for some more unhappiness throughout here, which directly affects a lot of things. And what are you looking for here?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're probably headed more, you know, to the downside. I don't think we quite completed, you know, to the downside on the second. So I guess that was Monday. I think we're going to go lower. I think we're probably going to go even lower than the February 9th lows, but I don't think we're going to go much lower. I have a target. It's about 248 in the SPY. And we're at 259 right now. So I think we got a ways to the downside. But it's a rising target, slowly rising. By the end of the week, we'll be up to 252. So roughly 252. So by the, by this week, I think somewhere around 250 in SPY, I'd be willing to, I'm already short, I'd be willing to cover there.
So if I said to you, I think the S&P is going to 1542, what would you say to that?
I'd say it probably is, but not right away. I think we're going to, unless you meant 25.
No, I meant 15. Oh. I think okay. I think there's a 40% haircut coming at some point. And again, I don't think it's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I never do that, right? To me, I look at one level at a time, and certainly I just right now I'm looking for the lows that get taken out, and I'd expect to see a major rip your face off rally for a day or two, because that's the way that down markets are. I mean, I think the rally evidence is obvious. You get these rip your face off rallies in a market that's headed lower, and that's, you know, yeah. they look so good, how could you not want to be in? And of course then they get depressed and they go lower and they take out new lows, and that's what I'm expecting. I don't, you know, 1542, when will it be? I don't know, year, who knows? I
agree with you though. I just think that we'll fall here, and we'll get a rip your face off rally first before we can, and then we'll have to have volatility fall. Volatility isn't, you know, we talk about that. The commercials have made a new record short position in VIX futures, so they're heavily short VIX. So I assume they're going to want to take that off before we have anything that where we plummet down to 50, you know, the 1500s.
Now, are the commercials ever wrong?
Yeah, they have been. So that's something to keep in mind. So they're more often right than wrong, but sometimes they're wrong, and they were, you know, in this case, when they get to records, I pay attention. They don't tend to be wrong when they hit record levels. So we'll see. But I think in this case, we'll get a rip your face off rally to the upside. They'll, you know, VIX will fall, they'll cover, and then, you know, from that point forward, anything can happen.
Now, there is a rip your face off. I apologize. There's a big short. They're holding a big short position in gold, are they not?
They are holding a big short position in gold. It's not, you know, it's not at a record. It's not hugely bearish. It's on the bearish side of things. But at the same time, they're almost flat silver, which is a new, you know, if you go back 20 years, they've always been short, And now they're only short 2,000 contracts, which for them is the lowest, the smallest short position they've ever had. So silver is extremely bullish. Gold is on the, you know, neutral to bearish end, more bearish actually. But so it's a tough read. It's like we said last week, I would be more than happy to be short the gold silver ratio, because I think silver is going to outperform.
Now, you were looking for gold to go to 1400, and again, it hasn't failed yet to get there, so we're not saying that it's not correct, but I do see that it does have some potential of failing here. I mean, it's kind of just waffling around, and it did seem to appear to put in a higher low at about 1330. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the thing is, we have rising support coming in. I have rising target support, and I have declining target resistance, and we're just chopping in between. The two lines will cross in September or October, depending on which ones I'm looking at. But, you know, we're just right now, it's just been, basically a chop fest for 3 months. And the target is still right around 1400. It's about 1402 and declining. So that's the one to the upside. The one to the downside's at 12, let's call it 1260 almost. So it hasn't hit either one. We need to hit one of those two before any major action can take place. So it's actually kind of a crapshoot which one's going to get hit. I think the upside one's more likely to get hit at this point.
Well, certainly the higher low the other day, holding that, you know, because now I think we've maintained 1330 for quite a while, could probably possibly push it up over 1360, 65, and you know, we could see it higher. Now, of course, oil. To me, again, I've been bearish oil, and I suffered through that six run to 66, but I think it's going a lot lower. To me, it looks like it's breaking down. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I'm heavily short oil as well. And this for me is a long-term trade. And, it's still neutral on daily indicators. There's nothing that would stop it from going lower. Weekly indicators already peaked. They've already done what they needed to do. So, you know, I'm positioned short, and I think that's more important. I mean, I do have a target that's now in the low 70s, is rising every week, every time we talk about it, that wasn't quite hit. So that's the only thing that's nagging at me, that bothers me a little bit about the chart, is that that was not quite hit perfectly. But it doesn't need to be hit perfectly either. It was within my margin of error. It's just, you know, one of those things. But I'm short. I agree with you that
silver's never. Excuse me, oil. If it ever gets to 7 again, I might jump off a building. I don't see it.
I might join you. Yeah,
I just don't see it. Again, forget about my position. I just don't see it. I don't see the need or the value. Again, I think with all the things that are going on, I just think that it heads lower. But you know, I think the next thing I want to look at is the dollar. Now, again, my personal call has been that the dollar is going to end up being the black swan event, because I see suppression by the Fed and by central banks around the world, because that's the only way they can manipulate global interest rates now, because interest rates are kind of rising on their own. But what do you look for in the dollar? I know you're long the dollar, and your 88 was your key number. And now we're getting close to trying to push through that 91, which I believe if we can get through 91, I think 95 is like the next stop and even higher. But I think the next stop after 91 is 95. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think I have descending support, and right now it's at 87.90. So that's the key. That's the key for me. I don't want to see that level broken. You know, we had already bottomed once at 88.5. And then 88.25, and that's along the same line, actually, that for the dollar index. So that same line is at 87.90 now. Like I said, it's slowly declining. As long as that doesn't break, I think we're going up to final target in the 120s. So that's a massive rally.
Well, no, I agree with that, because I think my final target in the euro currency is about under par. All right. So again, that would perfectly tie in, because basically what you do is just reverse the numbers, and that would be the numbers. And that's what I expect. I mean, I expect the euro to collapse. Again, when, I can't say, and I look at it as you do, one level at a time. I'm looking at a chart and saying, okay, this is my next target. And I know you do that. And of course, the last thing today I want to talk about is the bonds. And of course, you, I think, like the bonds higher, or the TLT, which is what you use for the bond. And you thought that it could go up to about, I think, 130, if I'm correct. Is that still in your potential expectations?
Yeah, no, I think bonds, I would like to see them run higher, because I'd like to get short. And I think there's a good chance they will go higher. But then that would just be a great shorting opportunity. I think 130 is a good spot. And I could check that real quick. Yeah. Yeah. 130 would be ideal as a spot to get short. I'd actually start before there, though. Probably 129, 128.
Would you be surprised if they didn't get that high? I mean, I know, again, you're very precise on your technical analysis. Would you be surprised if they didn't get that far? I personally believe that they're not necessarily the TLT, but the bond futures are a sale in the 146 to 147 range.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking at TLT at the moment. I have a declining resistance presently at 131, but it's declining relatively fast. And we're not going to get above 131, not without a massive sell off first. So, and then I have other resistance levels before there. So, you know, 128, I think, is actually where I'd start. As far as the futures, I don't know. I don't have that in front of me.
Right. But, no, I understand. Yeah. I use the futures versus the TLT. Pretty similar. But this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And it's always been great to have you on. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, right here at the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Just spin around. I want to
feel its sway. Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.